Half Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. Again, if you wanted to call into the show, please do it. The number to do so is 253-535-7332. Once again, that is 253-535-7332. Folks, we are extremely excited to bring you a new segment of the show, and that is called The Seahawks Will. All four of us on the show here will talk about that and fill in that blank, and that will kind of kick us off here. Again, The Seahawks Will, a new segment starting right now. So the Seahawks match up against the Miami Dolphins. The Seahawks will win this Sunday. I know, Christian, you are not going to
We'll save it.
We'll save it. That's right.
Tell me why. Why will they win?
Let's start just with the basics. It's a home game. Okay. They're playing at CenturyLink. It's a tough place to play. It's a tough place to watch a game. I get a headache watching the game. It's so loud. So you got to start there. Again, home field advantage in the NFL is a big-time asset. And in my opinion, with CenturyLink, it blows every home field advantage out of the water. They really, really do have that advantage when it comes to that first game. Number two. Number three for the Seahawks. What's his name? Russell Wilson. This guy is dialed in. He got married this summer, and I was a little bit worried. I was like, Russell, please be smart on the honeymoon. Don't gain weight. I hope you're still, you know, doing your footwork and stuff in the sand. But Russell Wilson has a focus this year that I've never seen. I went to a couple practices at the VMAT, guys, and I'm telling you right now, he was more focused this year than he was last year. And that's what I was a little bit worried about when he started dating Ciara, or as Colin Cowher likes to say, Ciara. It's just one of those things that, like, that can be a distraction, and it can be bulletin board material for other teams to kind of trash talk. There was even some drama with Future a little bit on Twitter, but it's like, this guy is so focused, and he has one goal. You follow him on Twitter, you follow him on Instagram. Again, not to read too much into social media, but just what he says. I mean, again, he always says the right things, and some people can kind of say, well, that's kind of fake. But again, that's just who this guy is. It's unbelievable. So again, Russell Wilson has, in my opinion, a different focus this year. I think the fact that there's kind of no more drama between Marshawn Lynch and Rawls, who's going to get the carries, we know it's going to be Rawls. And it's going to be interesting to see how he does. Again, coming off an injury.
We don't necessarily know it's Rawls on the week one depth chart. Christine Michael is the number one running back.
I think they're doing that just to get in Miami's head, as they've gotten your head.
I think that's a Pete Carroll special.
Oh, it's absolutely Pete
Carroll.
Nick Saban does that.
Pete Carroll special.
Scott Westring does that. I mean, that's definitely a play. Definitely a play of the card there. But that's what's exciting. And I think, again, Jimmy Graham, it'll be exciting to see kind of how he does with his injury as well. Obviously, Luke Wilson, another stud tight end. And again, Doug Baldwin got paid. But again, the difference between Doug Baldwin and other players is Doug Baldwin got paid doesn't mean he's done. He still has so much to prove. And I love when he said, now that he's gotten all this money on Brock and Salk, he said, no, I'm still going to be the hardest worker on this team, and that's what I love about them. So again, I really believe offensively we're set when it comes to the Seahawks on Sunday against the Dolphins. And again, defensively, we are the small. This is interesting. Quick stat before I go to Christian here: The Seahawks are the smallest defense in the NFL, yet they're the fastest and quickest defense in the NFL. They looked at all the 40 times and all the eye test times. And again, guys, speed beats size. Miami's big. The Seahawks are faster. Seahawks win 24-17.
We went with the score even. Wow.
Yeah. So I, for the one and probably only time this will ever happen all year, for the record.
That's right.
I'm actually agreeing with Kellen for the first time ever, and this will only happen once. I think the Seahawks will win this weekend. But
we're recording this, right? So we can go back.
Yeah. But for none of the reasons you think they are.
All right.
Okay? I think they're going to win because the Dolphins organization is that bad.
Oh.
Ryan Tannehill, you might as well just sit him when they're in the red zone because he ain't going to score once they get down there.
Take a knee.
You might as well just take three knees and kick a field goal because they're never going to score. That's just the case. I will agree with the fact that speed does kill. But that's fine. Also, if you look at the Vegas sports book, do you know what Seattle's favored by? They're favored by 11.5.
That's a lot of points. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's to cover a spread. I mean, I'd bet it any day of the week. You're not going to score on Seattle's defense. I am sorry, Ryan Tannehill cannot move the ball. The only way the defense is going to stop the Seahawks if Ndamukong Suh steps on someone. It's about the only way that's going to happen.
It's going to go.
That guy needs the email notebook.
So two 15 personal fouls. I'm calling 2 15 personal fouls. So 30 yards of total offense thanks to Ndamukong Suh for the Seahawks. I think it's just going to be too easy. I think the Seahawks are going to win by more than 11.5, guaranteed.
All right. Lacey, what do you think?
I'm going to say the Seahawks will win this
the homework
weekend.
Homework coming out.
But yeah, I think really like Kellen said, the home field advantage is such a key thing, especially at CenturyLink with the 12th man there. So, and I think getting past Seahawks defense is going to be difficult for the Dolphins. But I'm more interested to hear what Christian's got to say about why he thinks the Dolphins are going to win.
Well,
you get 3 points at home, by the way, on the sports book. You get 3 points just for playing at home in Seattle.
Okay. All right. So like Lacey alluded to, half for the sake of being different, but more so because I think on Sunday the Seahawks will lose.
Oh, God.
Ooh.
Okay. All right.
Reason being,
Miami's defensive line will be too much for the Seahawks' offensive line. Okay, we know the Seahawks don't really spend any assets, meaning money or draft picks, on their offensive line. They kind of put it in Russell Wilson's hands or Tom Cable's hands, whoever they trust to outperform their offensive line. That's where they put their faith in. All right, who have the Seahawks struggled with in the past who are built similarly?
The Rams.
The Rodgers Rams or the
Los Angeles Rams.
Lambs. Wow. That's like calling the Queens for Sacramento.
Exactly. They beat the Seahawks twice. The Rams beat the Seahawks twice last year. Why?
Todd Gurley.
No, defensive line play.
Their defensive line just beat them up.
Todd Gurley jumped over Kip Chancellor.
They just beat them up. That's the only reason you could... Who plays Todd Gurley's the only skill position player you can name on the Rams right now?
No,
right,
you can't name Jared Goff because he's inactive.
Right, so who else plays? Who plays offense for the Rams?
Marshall Faulk.
Okay. 20 years ago,
25 years ago, Kurt Warner was the quarterback when that happened. So, Christian, can I disagree? Can I agree to disagree with you? Do we have time with that?
Yeah.
So here's my deal about this: is that I think the Seattle Seahawks' ineptitude at O-line makes Russell Wilson better.
I disagree.
Because I think Russell Wilson's main idea is his escapability and his elusiveness, and I think he's too small to play NFL quarterback. So I think with the holes in that O-line give him throwing windows. When holes open up, I think it gives him windows to throw the ball because he can't sit in the pocket and throw the ball. He's too short.
Well, there's validity to that. Okay.
So I think Russell Wilson is too short. I think the ineptitude of the O-line opens up windows for him to throw the ball. I think their O-line struggles actually go to Russell Wilson's strengths.
Russell Wilson had the best accuracy when he was in the pocket last year in the NFL.
I think with
the same bad O-line.
But it's the same O-line, so he's going to have that same O-line on Sunday. Yet he was the most accurate passer when he stood in the pocket last year, Drew. I'm glad that Christian brought up the defensive line. That's a great point, especially comparing it to the Rams. I like that comparison because you're absolutely right. We did struggle with that. But here's the question as well. Again, I like looking at offensive and defensive stuff, but you also have to look at the mental side of the game. Do the Miami Dolphins have the tools to win a game on the road? The Cowboys beat the Seahawks last year. They went into the game so confident. You saw the way they ran. A couple years ago, DeMarco Murray ran right behind that O-line. It was unbelievable for them to beat the Seahawks at home.
You really think the
Dolphins have the tools?
It's the matchup. It's a bad, bad matchup. That's all the NFL is, right? It's a matchup. They're going to expose that offensive line. I think that Russell Wilson, it's in his head that the offensive line is bad. He then escapes too often and runs into his own sack.
But he does not escape. I think Russell Wilson does a great job. I don't think he escapes for the wrong reasons. Here's the deal.
He can at times.
The reason Colin Kaepernick is so bad, and he's so bad, is because he does not run to extend plays and not run to get guys open. He runs for himself because, like everything with Colin Kaepernick, it's all about me. Yeah. That's why his protest fell on deaf ears.
And next week.
Okay, next week. However, Russell Wilson runs, he's elusive, and he runs to extend plays, not to scramble out of the pocket and get yards. And he's smart enough to know not when to take a hit, and he's smart enough knows when to lose the ball, and smart enough knows when to take a sack. It's a mental thing.
I totally agree with you, and twice on Sunday, but here's the thing, Christian. Do you actually think the Dolphins are going to put points up against the Seahawks defense?
That's a great question.
New head coach Anthony Ghost has had success with guys like Tim Tebow in the past.
Do the Dolphins still have that big linebacker guy with all the veins?
Whoa. So what are you saying about Tim Tebow now?
I'm not saying anything.
Don't. This is the happiest day of me and Kellen's life. He was just signed to a major league deal.
Kellen eyes.
If he can do it with Tim Tebow, he can do it with anybody else.
I'm done with you. It's Ryan Tannehill. It's Ryan Tannehill.
What's your point? Ryan Tannehill has never lost to the Seahawks.
Christian, give us a score.
Well, yeah, what's your
The score. That's the part.
0-0?
No, it's not going to be 0-0. Oh, it's not going to be very high. It'd be like a 23-17, maybe.
No, yeah, how are those 23? Is 23 going to come in with what? 6-7 field goals? I mean,
doesn't matter how it gets there, as long as it gets there.
That's true.
If Ryan Tannehill throws for more than one touchdown pass, I will wear Dolphins gear in studio.
I got it for you. I definitely have
Wait, what was that?
If he throws for more than one touchdown pass, it's just not going to happen.
Okay. So he's got to. Okay.
Hey, folks, you heard that here.
Arian Foster's going to run the ball.
Is he hurt?
No.
No.
I'm just saying he's always hurt.
That was cold.
I have no room to talk, but he's always hurt. He's always.
Oh, Lord.
He's always hurt.
Wow.
Right. We want to encourage listeners right now to call in and give us your opinion on what's going to happen with the Seahawks this weekend. I feel like there's validity in my argument of the defensive line.
If anyone calls in and agrees with
you. No, Christian, it's a great argument. But I just think it's hard when you don't have really any offensive backing. You know,
Ryan Tannehill, Arian Foster, they can all get the job done.
We're running this show out of the Pacific Northwest. Let me tell you something about the Pacific Northwest. It's so different from any other place. You can wear a football jersey on a Tuesday, and it's acceptable. You can wear 12s gear any day of the week up here. You see it everywhere. It's insane. No one is going to call in and agree with you. Ever. Do you understand that? Like, ever. I love you, Christian. You know that. But unless we're taking calls from Fort Lauderdale retirement homes, no one's agreeing with you.
I don't even think Dan Marino thinks the Dolphins are going to win. I'm going to be honest with you.
Oh, I just
there's validity in the argument.
No,
it's a decent enough argument.
No, if
Miami was at home, you might have a little bit of.
That's
a point.
Where Tannehill beat the Seahawks.
Do you understand that?
At home,
you understand that Vegas thinks they're 11.5 point favorites?
And if put a couple dollars on the Dolphins and make some money.
Hey, and if they were Christian, if they were away. If the Seahawks were away, you only get 3 points. You get a 3-point favorite for being at home. If they're away, they still think they're a touchdown better than them.
That's all right. Maybe I'm smarter than Vegas. Maybe I have.
If you
were
smarter
out.
Than Vegas,
what happens?
We're going this weekend.
What?
If you're smarter than Vegas, we're going this weekend.
What
I'm
happens when
somebody.
The Seahawks lose? Like, really?
Lacey, how do you feel about Christian's take?
I mean,
I don't know. I'm not wearing Dolphins gear either way, though.
I mean, you do look good in green, but
I mean, Christian, here's the deal. You know I'm a diehard Niner fan, okay? A diehard Niner fan. I will take any time to root against the Seahawks, and I'm telling you they're going to win. That should tell you something. If anything, that should tell you something.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Come on.
I'm gonna stick with what I think. I think the defensive line will expose the Seahawks offensive line.
Their best offensive player is Arian Foster, and the dude needs a Walker and AARP card.
All right, Christian, we're gonna do a bet here. I mean, we already have the bet with Drew and the Tannehill touchdown. So, Drew, Christian, in your eyes.
In your eyes.
Need your eyes here. Christian,
he's producing.
I need your eyes.
He's producing.
Okay.
He's producing. Yeah, look at you here,
you got me.
Okay, if the Dolphins win,
oh wow,
I will buy you a Frilly's pizza. If they lose, you buy me a Domino's pizza because I like Domino's better. How's that sound?
Put your money where your mouth is. Say it with your chest.
Okay. I will.
God.
He's not even confident.
You're on air. Be confident.
Christian, this should just show your argument is.
I got to make rent, guys. No, I'm just playing.
We're all starving college
students
here, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm just playing,
just
guys.
Just trying to make ends meet.
I'll bring breakfast into the studio next week.
If they lose.
If they lose.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate that.
When they lose. Look at the homer over there talking like she knows.
She didn't even have an argument. She's like, yeah, they're going to win.
They're going
to
win.
Hey, I like it.
Time out.
Well, folks, you
She's
heard
loyal.
It, you heard
on,
it
we're
first.
Not done yet. We got time.
I'm just saying, we got 3-1. 3-1, and I'm sure Heine, who's outside the studio waiting to get in, would agree with us. I mean, I like it. He is here.
He's here.
I'm going to go get Heine. We'll get Heine's opinion.
I will never, ever, ever agree with you again, probably in the rest of the year. Well, I guess for the rest of the semester because, you know, you're leaving at the end of the semester. But I will never agree with you again. This is the one time I'm actually agreeing with you. The Seahawks will win.
So, Heine's in the studio. Heine's going
to
go to the mic.
Come sit next to me, buddy. Come hang out.
So, our number one fan, Heine, is in studio right now, and we're going to get his opinion on the Seahawks this weekend. Heine, tell us what the Seahawks will do.
All right, Heine, here, take the
They got the Dolphins.
No, they got the Dolphins.
Yeah.
And Christian.
No, don't say anything. Just we want his opinion.
Okay. All right.
What do you do against the Dolphins?
I think the Seahawks are going to win, right?
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
I don't like Ryan Tannehill that much.
Oh!
Okay, but why do you think the Seahawks will win? Just kind of quick
Besides
synopsis.
Ryan Tannehill is
quarterback. Russell Wilson is is a way better quarterback than Ryan Tannehill.
It's a quarterback's league.
It's a quarterback's league.
It could be a quarterback's league, but if the Dolphins' defensive line eats up the offensive line of the Seahawks, which is the weakest part of that team, the best part of the Dolphins is their defensive line. The worst part of the Seahawks is their offensive line. So when the Dolphins' defensive line eats up the Seahawks' offensive line,
that's one matchup,
and
though.
And takes Remember. Out, not takes out of the game, but keeps Russell Wilson in check. Then what are the Seahawks going to do?
I don't know. The only
I don't know.
The only defensive line that's actually really good is the Rams, and that's who they have trouble with.
Exactly. That's built just like the Rams, which is exactly what I said.
The Dolphins did lose Vernon, right, to the Giants.
Olivier Vernon?
Who do they got? They got Cam Wake, they got Ndamukong Suh, Earl Mitchell, and Mario Williams.
Ndamukong Suh is going to give them 30 yards of free offense with personal fouls.
It's okay if he takes away 30.
I think Mario Williams is just the name's right there, so I think it's just a hype name. His numbers aren't there. They lost their best defensive lineman from last year.
Seahawks
next to Sue.
Yeah.
So the Seahawks line only got better. They drafted our first round.
Seahawks lost Jermaine Urfetti this morning.
Yes.
To injury.
That is true.
They just got worse.
I think
they're going to get exposed, they just
Christian,
got worse.
You have a great, as we're wrapping up here, Christian, I think you have a great point that a defensive line for the Dolphins is extremely talented. I just don't think it's enough to beat the Seahawks. And you got to get that bigger brain.
Hey, and before we get out of this.
It's there, but I'm going to be different. Seahawks are losing this weekend.
Hey, before we get out of this segment, I know we lose Kellen at semester, and this is going to be all really sad that I only get to disagree with him for one semester because it's a lot of fun. But my vote, Christian, is that Heine replaces him because Heine is just – he agrees with me more often.
was he Max Kellerman? Jeez. Well, folks, great stuff. I mean, up next, we turn our sights to – two local sports teams in the Northwest. Find out who they are next. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 4.5 Athletes. Now we got Heine in studio on Loot Air Student Radio. Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. If you want to call in the show, do it. The number to do so is 253-535-7332. Again, 253-535-7332. We are now going to take a look at UW and WSU football. Christian, what do you have for us?
There's a lot of hype surrounding the UW Husky football program coming into the 2016 season. They kind of rolled over Rutgers 48-13 last Saturday. And for the first time since week 8 of 2001.
Wow. So how old were all we?
Not very old. The Huskies are in the top 10 of the AP polls. They are in 8th as of today. So
wow.
It's been a long time since they've been relevant, even
right.
You know, what is working for this team? Why are people so excited about football in the Northwest, college football in the Northwest?
Well, before I get to the superstar, who is Jake Browning, I just want to ask: is that two pack teams in the top 10?
Who else is in Stanford?
Isn't Stanford and UW two pack? Wow,
that would be a fun matchup, and that matchup happens, I think, week 8.
Yeah, West Coast football has just taken a steep dive ever since Pete Carroll left USC and that whole thing happened. I'm very happy to see that West
Absolutely.
Coast football.
I wonder why he left.
Another reason I don't like the Seahawks. Anyways, so I think the reason they've gotten so good is that Jake Browning's maturation is just the reason the Huskies are better and they better than they have been. And they're finding new ways to get Ross the ball. They're not running just the same old offense that they run. They're putting him in motion. They're running different
backfield.
Sides of the field. They're putting him in the backfield. They're doing a lot of different things to get him the ball. If you have a good quarterback and you find smart ways to get the ball in the hands of your playmakers, I hope that Mr. Westring is listening. If you have a good solid quarterback and you find inventive ways to get the ball in the hands of your playmakers, Kellen and Welch, then we're going to end up winning games. That's kind of how things work. So I was lucky enough to have the opportunity to play against Jake Browning in high school. Jake Browning was in my league at Folsom High School. The kid was an absolute stud. Let me just read.
How tall is he? 6'3", 6'5"?
No, he's a little shorter than – I believe he's only listed at like 6'2". Yeah, he's,
oh, okay.
And that's a generous
He 6'2". Looks tall, though.
He looks tall because he's lanky.
Yeah.
But he's about 6'2", because he graduated high school like 6'2", 180. He was a skinny, lanky kid. But let me just give you his senior year passer rating at Folsom High was 139.
Jeez. Is that Tannehill's, Christian? Oh, wait.
No. He had over 70% completion rating, threw for almost 6,000 yards, and threw for 91 touchdowns
Wow.
in his senior year. That's absolutely insane.
Right.
Now, that going from high school to college
right, different
is
level,
a different level.
Definitely
he
different
was,
level.
There was, they were, UW was so young last year, and so was Jake, that they weren't going to win a lot of games. They were super young. It's okay. It right. takes a year. If you're willing to give your coaches time to recruit players, build a program, let them mature, I promise you they're going to be good. Jake Browning's gotten better. That game showed it. Jake can stretch the field now. He's gotten stronger.
Right.
He can throw the ball down the field.
So
he's good.
So last year, I wasn't a big fan of Browning until the USC game. And let me point out.
Let it get late in the year.
Right, right. Let me point out, because again, he was a freshman starting quarterback. Does that kind of weird clap motion. Wasn't a
that's
big fan
a Folsom
of it.
Thing. Yeah. That's a Troy Taylor. So Coach Troy Taylor's the quarterback coach at Folsom. And that's they run all their stuff off of cards and It's like a reality show. They run all their stuff off of like Looney Tunes characters,
oh, yeah.
and there's like Sylvester Stallone characters. That's how they call their plays. And they don't use snap counts. They use claps and
right.
hand drops.
Because you can hear a clap.
Because you
mean,
can hear a clap because
right.
they play in front of people, and they play with De La Salle. They play
exactly.
Bellevue. They travel.
Right.
So back to your point. I apologize for interrupting.
No worries. So when he was, you know, started as a freshman, because I went to a couple of their games early on. I was actually dating a girl that was the president of Alpha Phi at the time in the sorority a couple years ago. But when he started, it was one of those things where it was four. Eight, yep. Side note, Chris, my fault. But it was fourth and five.
No one cares.
Fourth
yeah.
and five. And it's fourth and five against USC, and they need the first down. And Jake Browning throws that slant right on the money. And in my opinion, as a freshman quarterback, that's when I became a huge fan. I was like, oh my gosh, this is his freshman year against USC, and he puts the ball right on the money. That showed big-time maturation for him. So that's when I became a Jake Browning fan. I love what you said about John Ross, getting him the ball a little more.
Is important.
Came off an ACL injury, and he looks unbelievable again. He and Adrian Pearson must have been hanging out. But it's one of those things where, again, this UW team believes that they're the eighth-ranked team in the country. They believe it. It's not like, oh, my gosh, we're the eighth-ranked team. No, they believe it. And that's what's so exciting to see. And in my opinion, and this goes almost for every single team in any kind of football school, you only go as far as your quarterback goes, especially
yeah.
when you're a sophomore. A lot of pressure's on Browning's shoulders, but I think he's up to it, Lacey.
Just to, before Lacey talks, I have one more thing to talk about Jake Browning's high school career. He threw 6 touchdowns a game on average and only threw 7 picks all year his senior year. That's
wow.
all. That's it.
I love it, but that's high school, but that's great stats,
that's
though.
That's it. Lacey, go ahead.
So it sounds I haven't been watching much. I mean, they've only had one game this season where they did kind of blow out Rutgers, which is awesome. Great start. But I think a key to UW's success this year is going to be Ross and his return as a receiver after being out redshirt last season due to that injury you were talking about, Kellen. So I am excited to see that, and it sounds like Browning is more of a throwing quarterback, not much of a runner, so I'm excited to hear a lot of Browning to Ross this season.
Absolutely.
Huskies play Idaho this weekend, probably expected to roll over once again.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You guys agree with that? They're going to just kind of
walk
over
Idaho. I think they're going to roll them, but if they want a chance at even coming close to making a preseason or breaking the top five, they need to figure out a tougher schedule in the next year.
So can you guys tell me a little bit about UW defense? I mean, we've hit on the offense quite a bit, but I'm not really sure what their defense is looking like.
It's solid, but it has holes, and I think that's where they'll end up losing games. They may have to outscore a few teams.
Isn't every defense – like that sounds like every defense in college football. Did you see all the scores last weekend? A little ridiculous.
The Texas game.
Exactly.
Game.
Here's the deal.
Put up points.
The game's changed. You have to put up points
exactly.
to win now. There's not going to be any close games unless you're in the SEC and you're playing LSU versus Alabama and you're going to pound the ball with eight-man fronts.
Close, low-scoring games.
Yeah.
It could be close
right.
50-50 games,
right.
but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's bounce over to the east side of the state. What happened to WSU last weekend?
Oh, my gosh. That was a fun game to watch, first off.
They cooged it.
Quick side note, Cooper Kupp, who in my opinion is the best football player in Division I AA, his father, Craig Kupp, played football here at PLU, was a stud, played
Dude,
a couple years
you
in
You and all your loot
There's
legacies.
The
you hey, and all your loot legacies.
You gotta throw it in, but
so
here's
why,
the thing.
So why isn't Cooper here at PLU? Killing
Cooper, Cooper almost came to PLU. He was this close to coming to PLU, then Eastern finally threw him a scholarship at the last second. Literally, he was on his visit, I hung out with him, we still Instagram direct message and stuff like that. Cooper almost came to PLU, how cool would that have been? That's a side note. Let's talk about that game. So Mike Leach is 0-6 in his first couple games here at WSU.
What else is new?
And the thing is, it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm not even a Cougar fan. I don't even bat an eyelash at that game. I think the reason why is because I look at last year, and my opinion is deja vu after the Portland State game. When Portland State came into Pullman, Portland State beat the Cougars. just like last year. I think the Cougars are going to have a respectable season. I'm looking extremely forward to the Apple Cup. And so
that's the only time anyone ever looks forward to watching WSU play.
That's a great point. Wow. That's a great point there, Drew. Wow. But I think they'll be fine, though, Drew. I really do. I think they're going to be respectable. Obviously, a tough. But again, Eastern's no scrub. So I'm glad that WSU put them on their schedule.
So, I mean,
because you remember a couple years ago, Eastern almost beat UW. They were that close with Vernon Adams.
I mean, WSU came off a bowl win for the first time since 04 and had their first quality season since the Mariners were good in 95. Sorry, Christian.
They were good in 2001, sweet 116.
There it is. Kellen with a little knowledge.
Mike Cameron.
So I mean, and they finally put a couple seasons. They finally put a season together where they matched their wins over 4 years from 2008 to 2011, which was kind of sad. But I mean, WSU football, the only time anyone in this state cares about WSU football if you're not from Pullman is if when they play UW.
Right.
Okay.
And that's sad.
Question before we wrap this up here.
Okay.
WSU has Boise State on their schedule this weekend.
Oh,
are they
is that
in
at
trouble?
Boise State?
Let me double
check. If they're on the blue turf.
Oh, they're going to get
shellacked.
That's a great challenge. I don't know about shellacked.
Wow.
I don't know about that. I think it'll be close, but I think the Broncos again on that blue turf. You got Eagles flying in because they think it's water. It's a tough deal there. I think they're going to win that ball game.
That is Boise State over Wazoo this weekend.
I mean, everyone thought they won the Super Bowl, and they went 8-4. That's how low the expectations are. They're going to go to the blue turf and get shellacked.
Again, Cougar is a real catchphrase. You got to admit it.
Yeah, only if you're a UW fan. All right. Let's get out of here.
Lacey, who do you think will win real quick, the Cougars or the Broncos?
Oh, the Broncos for sure.
Ooh. Thank good Lord.
More Homer. I've been to the blue turf, and I know it's hard to win there. So.
Christian, who do you got, Broncos or Cougs?
I don't know. Let's go with Cougars.
You got the Cougs.
Wazoo will win.
Wow, he's got the Dolphins, and he's just going opposite.
You're just picking two teams who are just destined to lose.
I like it.
We'll see.
Folks, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we got Lacey's Ladies. That's coming up. Find out what local team she focuses on next. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loop Air Student Radio. Thanks for listening, Mom. Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loop Air Student Radio. If you wanted to call to the show, do it. Heine, you can even do it here. The number to do so is 253-535-7332. Once again, that is 253-535-7332. Lacey, what is on the agenda for today?
Welcome back to Lacey's Ladies, or as last year, if you followed us last spring, we were known as Lacey's Losers.
I loved it. There was no correlation between those two topics.
We decided to change that up a bit. Being the only female voice on the show, I thought it'd be neat to tap into local female sports. So having said that, I think it's fitting to start with women's basketball in the Seattle Storm. And I guess I want to know, you guys, have you guys been keeping up with the Storm this season?
Only when I check the Weather Channel.
I've seen what you say now.
I can't even go as far as Kellen says, but I just like to point out that we could have covered both ladies and losers if we would have talked about Hope Solo.
Too soon. I've seen
what they've been doing. The scoreboard page of the Tribune, so I have to see what they're scoring every night. I know that they're not particularly high in their in the standings of the Western Conference. Brianna Stewart's a superstar. That's about it, though. That's all I know.
Well, we will get into this a little bit later in the segment, but they're not very high in the Western Conference, but just beat the first place team in the Eastern Conference last night. So they're making their way to the playoffs, trying to get a spot in the playoffs this year. The Storm are 13-17 overall for the season, putting them, as I said, fourth in the Western Conference.
Well, that's not bad.
They were worse.
They were worse before. They've been better of late.
I think, like you said, Brianna Stewart is really helping them out this season with the combination of Brianna Stewart and Sue Bird. It's really kind of a dominant
force. Didn't they also win the championship with Lauren Jackson a couple years ago?
She retired.
I know, but they won. Didn't they win the whole thing?
They won the whole thing before. They won the whole thing before like twice.
I don't think you can understate Brianna Stewart at UConn. She's fantastic. She came from the greatest basketball power.
Yeah, we'll get to her later
MVP,
on.
Yep.
Yeah,
male or female.
Yeah, so anyways, I don't know if you guys knew, but the WNBA kind of went on a little month break during the Olympics, and two of our players, again, Brianna Stewart and Sue Bird, were actually able to represent U.S. in the Olympics and brought home the gold, so that's awesome. But I think the team was really able to refocus and come back in, ready to fight for that playoff spot, and the Storm blew out the second half yesterday when they played the New York Liberty, who, like I said, is leading the Eastern Conference. And it was kind of neck and neck at halftime, and the Storm came out in the second half and blew them out. Score ended up being 102-78.
That's a lot of points.
That's a lot of points.
Playing offense.
So,
that's a lot of points. That's a lot of points in WNBA.
180 points combined. How's that math?
Perfect math, actually. That's great.
On point math, but
check me out, Mom. Look at my math.
But yeah, some key players to look for this year. Again, just going to keep mentioning them. Breanna Stewart, in her rookie season, is really lighting it up. She's averaging almost a double-double with 18.2 points a game and 9 rebounds. That puts her in 2nd in rebounding for the league and 6th in scoring for the league. So she's really a player to look for, and you can't miss her when you watch. Is anyone, Christian, you have anything to add?
I just know that she was phenomenal at UConn. Like, she's obviously brought it over to the Storm. It's great that she's in a Seattle uniform.
Here's what I have to say about UConn. I'm going to use an airport analogy here. When you're at the airport, you go through security.
Yeah.
You got to go to your gate to get on the airplane.
Uh-huh.
If you want to go to the WNBA, go to UConn. Because they are going to prepare you to get to the WNBA.
That's fantastic.
I'm telling you right now, Gino, what's his last name?
Oriema.
I'm glad you, because I would have said that wrong, is just a machine at getting these ladies to buy in to just focusing on basketball, living the college life, yes, but focusing on basketball. I mean, you look at Diana Taurasi. You look at, obviously, you know, Breanna Stewart right now. And then who was the other really good stud? Number 22... Golly, what was her name?
Maya Moore.
All went to UConn. And they are the top players in the WNBA. Hey. I'm telling you right now, UConn gets it done, gets you ready to go to the WNBA.
UConn is a dynasty. It's the greatest basketball program, male or female, in college basketball. That's above Duke and Coach K. That's above Roy Williams.
Basketball, you think so too? For men's?
Yes. I think they're above Coach Self in Kansas, Roy Williams in the Tar Heels. And Coach K and Duke, they're a machine. They don't lose games. It's undeniable fact. If you look at the winning percentages and the number of wins and the length of time they have been good, it's just fact. You can't argue with numbers. What's the numbers don't lie? Numbers
I would lie. Argue that Duke might be better than the men's UConn team. I would just say when you look at
no. What so you
are, think, are you talking about overall, like girls and guys?
Girls and guys. Women's UConn women's basketball is the best basketball program in the nation.
Absolutely.
Male or female. Yeah. Period. End of story.
Right. Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. Just making sure we're okay.
No, absolutely.
So who else are we talking about? Sue, I think Sue Bird.
Sue Bird, also someone you can't miss. She's kind of the team's veteran, the glue to the team. She's the point guard. She's been with the Storm since 2002.
Wow.
Nice. She's averaging.
Did she go to UConn? I'm pretty sure she went to UConn.
Did she?
I'm pretty sure.
I'm on it. I'll look.
That.
Christian, produce.
All right. Well, Christian's looking that up. Just some stats. She averages 13 points. As well as she is leading the league in assists.
She went to UConn.
She went to UConn.
Kellen looks like
he stands true.
We're making Kellen look like a genius. We need to stop letting him talk. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, like I said, she's leading the league with nearly six assists per game, which is awesome. Yeah, that's hilarious from UConn. What do you say to that?
She's fantastic. I mean, there's no understanding it. I believe she started at point guard for the. For the national team this summer.
She fantastic. Actually ended up getting injured. I can't recall if it was an ankle or a knee injury.
I think it was an ankle.
She had to sit out in the semifinals, I believe. But
yeah.
Good thing she's healthy now. She's back on track starting. And yeah, really cool. Really cool to follow them. And we'll be keeping up with that with the women's Storm this year.
Mm-hmm. So you said, but weren't both Bird and Stewart members of the 2016 Olympic team?
Mm-hmm. That is correct, yeah.
And they just, they dominated. That was not even fair.
And like you said, Lacey, I mean, sorry to mention that.
No, you're fine.
You got to look at Sue Bird, and I like to kind of always say this, when you have a lady or guy that is this talented, but also just gets it done on the leadership role, she's a Swiss Army knife of the Storm. She's been there, like you said, since 2002, and every... You know, the coaches go to her. You know, the players go to her. A couple of my buddies, Kai Hoy and Robert Isaacson, who played on the basketball team a couple of years ago, would go to the Storm, and they would practice with them. They would also work the games. And they said she is a pro's pro. And so it's pretty cool to see the longevity of her career, too. It obviously starts with her diet. It starts with her training. It's pretty unbelievable to know that she has been playing since 2002 and obviously also played at college at UConn. Probably the best WNBA player maybe of all time.
Here's my problem, though. This is my whole thing about WNBA. No one watches. No one watches. Despite
it's
the,
unfortunate.
But despite
it's
the recent,
the fact that they can take a break during
despite,
their season.
Yeah, despite yeah. the recent Watch Us Work campaign, the WNBA gets about this much airtime. Zero. Mm-hmm. They get no airtime. No one. I hate to say no one cares, but no one cares. It does resonate with the American public.
Well,
it just doesn't. It's not a misogynistic take. It's a truthful statement. Here's the deal. Golf without Tiger gets better ratings than women's basketball.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of people like golf, though, let's be honest. People do like
it. But it's slower paced and
there's
boring.
So much more coverage. There's a golf tournament on every single right. weekend. How many WNBA games are broadcast a week? Two?
Because they're not going to get ratings, though.
How do you – well – I think it's tough because it's solid basketball. I mean, there's a close game in the league every night. Following the league.
But once again, the only time professional women's basketball gets ratings is when it's being broadcasted along with equestrian, curling, and bike riding. Yes, that's during the Olympics. That's the only time anyone cares, and they dominate. And so half the time, they're up by 50 at half, and you turn the game off at halftime anyways.
It's also tough when their season is.
That's a management thing.
Over the summer, it doesn't work for me. I don't want to go inside and watch basketball at any summer month. I'd rather go outside and do something.
Right.
I think that's part of it.
My take's not misogynistic in any. It's just the truth based on ratings, based on popularity, based on everything. The only time they get primetime coverage is when the NBA players come on TV to talk about them.
Yeah, and I respect that, and that's. I mean, I can't say that I'm. Totally. I mean, I don't watch the WNBA either, but
and there's not a lot of money. They don't get paid a lot for how much time they spend. So I know for a lot of girls that want to go play at the next level, it's not. I mean, I'm sure you can live off of it, but it's not like NBA where you're getting millions of dollars right. by any means at all.
Right. Yep.
It's yeah. I think it has more to do with them playing not in basketball season.
Right.
Just over the summer. No one wants. I don't want to watch basketball in the summer.
And why is
regardless that? Of any basketball. I don't watch any summer league. I don't watch any whatever, you know, basketball's on TV. I don't
NBA
watch it over
summer league gets better ratings than
yeah.
NBA.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it, this,
yeah. But hey, that's why we have Lacey's Ladies. We're going to keep you guys updated on the storm and as well as other females in the Northwest. So I'm excited for it.
Lacey, we really appreciate that. Folks, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we will take a look at the remaining local sports team we haven't talked about yet. Find out what team that is next. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. Welcome back, folks, to Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. If you want to call into the show for our last segment, please do it. The number to do so is 253-535-7332. Once again, that is 253-535-7332.
Oh, it's time. It is time to talk a little bit about the Mariners.
You've been waiting since May 6th.
Oh, my God. I know. Kellen, how much baseball did you watch this summer?
So Twitter had a lot of influence on me when it came to watching the Mariners, and I'll tell you why. So a guy on our football team named Matt Anthony, who Hein is pretty good friends with, actually is his roommate. Matt Anthony has some classic tweets about the Mariners. Whenever there would be a positive tweet, like, oh, my gosh, the Mariners just hit a two-run home run, or, gosh, we're just getting killed. If it was positive, I'm changing the channel, watching the Mariners. If it's negative, not even flipping. I just can't handle it. Can't handle the heartbreak. I loved Ichiro, have been investing in the Mariners, but they just continue to disappoint. They're kind of like Burger King.
Oh, God.
Burger King looks good on
what
the outside.
Let me get there.
Burger King looks good on the outside, but once you get in there, once you taste it, once you do the whole meal, you just kind of leave with kind of an upset stomach. Mm. You go to McDonald's, like, you know, whatever, the Rangers. That's a great meal, and they're a great team. So that was kind of a tough deal for me this summer watching them.
McDonald's, really? That's your analogy? You couldn't get any better than McDonald's. You couldn't have gone like In-N-Out or like Chipotle or something like that. You had to go with McDonald's.
I should have gone In-N-Out if I could. You know
if
what?
You would've
if
done
I could go back,
if you could go back, you would have went with In-N-Out Burger, wouldn't you have?
I would
do it over again.
So Christian, can I point a question towards you, towards the Mariners?
Absolutely.
You had this, you know, wonderful theory at the end of last year about how to watch baseball in 10-game segments, right?
Yeah.
Right? How are the Mariners doing in them 10-game segments?
It turned out to be that the three 10-game segments in, like, June and early July, You didn't want to watch them at all. They were so injured.
Yeah.
There were so many players who weren't playing just because they were hurt. Felix Hernandez was one of them. I mean, they were pitching with, like, a guy, maybe two, from the opening day rotation.
Yep.
That's never going to work.
No.
The whole game starts with starting pitching, obviously. And when you're injured at starting pitching, you end up wasting your bullpen every single game, overexposing your bullpen. It didn't work out for them. The Mariners went on a little run after the All-Star break. They had the best record of baseball for a while.
They did.
Yep.
But recently they've fallen again, and it's been the starting pitching. It's been Felix Hernandez. Felix Hernandez has probably peaked. 2014 was probably the best year you're ever going to see out of Felix Hernandez.
That's the thing
from
about
here
pitchers,
on out,
man. Gosh, that's the thing hear, about pitchers.
He's going to be in the rotation, and he's going to be in there as long as he wants/can.
Right.
But he's not going to be your number one anymore.
I agree.
He shouldn't be anyway.
With your knowledge, Christian, when it comes to baseball, what's that age where you're just done?
As a pitcher?
Yeah, as a pitcher.
It could be anywhere.
Right. Because obviously you look at Jamie Moyer.
You pitch forever.
He still
yeah.
might be pitching.
Yeah, somewhere. Baseball players are in the arc of their career from like 28 to 32.
And Felix is?
He's in that 30 range,
he's
low
30s. Low 30s.
He's coming down. He's coming down from it. Got he's going to be in the rotation. Like I said, he still has games where he.
I think he's getting a little bit of gray in that blonde.
That's why he's covering it up with the blonde.
That's right.
So who is their go-to pitcher then?
Hisashi Iwakuma has been their best pitcher all year long. And if you go back to the offseason, the Mariners should not have even had Hisashi Iwakuma. He signed with the Dodgers for 3 years, $45 million. He did his physical with the Dodgers. The Dodgers didn't like how he tested out, and they cut him. So then the Mariners got him on the cheap for like a year with a two-year option or something very club-friendly.
Something and very Mariner-esque.
Mariner-friendly. Like, they got lucky, and he ended up being their best pitcher all year long. James Paxton, I don't understand him. There is only so long you could have potential for until you're not what you were supposed to be.
Potential is just unused talent.
Exactly, but how long until, oh, he doesn't have any potential anymore. This is what he is.
Well, I mean,
they've been talking about it for two years.
There's been plenty of busts in the major leagues.
As soon as he reaches his potential.
You know who they need to get? The Mariners need to sign Tim Tebow.
A little too late.
I'm being so serious.
Come on, they put butts in seats. They put butts in seats. You want to raise attendance? Let me tell you this right now. When the Major League Baseball rosters expand, if a major league team that's struggling does not sign Tim Tebow just to boost attendance and to sell some uniforms, they're insane. Who cares? It's a publicity stunt already. Why not get on board? Make some money. Good Lord. It's a capitalistic society. Make money. Good Lord.
So, Christian, are we looking towards next year already for the most part?
The Mariners would have to go on a decent run, a more than decent run.
Oh, yeah, more than decent run.
I don't know how many games they got left, but I think they got to win like 15 of
right.
20
they're
or something.
In that 30
something
range.
Ridiculous. They're 5 games out of the second wild card spot. They're five games away from maybe making it to a one-game playoff.
Right. So let's not turn the light off yet, but it's getting close.
But you're starting to already look towards the future.
Right.
Once again, I'd just like to point out that it is yet again an even year, so we all know who's going to win the World Series.
The Giants, it's good that you bring that up, the Giants are like 17-31 since the All-Star break.
I know. They're playing horrendous, but they're still second because they had a great start.
We'll see where they end up. I'm not sure. What are they, second in the West or the wild card? Where are they at?
They're second in the West.
Second in the West. Are they out of a wild card spot or in a wild card spot?
I believe they're in a wild card spot currently.
Interesting.
You know, Drew, ever since you mentioned In-N-Out Burger, I am so hungry. I am so hungry.
Me too, buddy.
But guys, what a fun show today. This was fun to kind of come back. We're all in studio here. Hopefully next week, possibly, Christian, we'll talk about this, you know, as the week goes on. But we might do a Periscope for you folks to kind of get an inside look.
Periscope, Facebook Live, that'd be cool.
To kind of get an inside look to see what goes on here. Obviously, we'll dress up a little bit more here. Lacey's wearing pajamas. I'm just kidding.
I'll come.
Pretty close to it.
I'm coming to my PJs. I don't care if there is Facebook Live or not.
That's awesome. Hi, Anna. Thanks for joining us today. We really appreciate that.
What do we got going on over the weekend? We got POU football.
Yeah, I'm busy Saturday at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, we got POU football. We have women's.
We got all the sports. Women's
soccer
tomorrow.
We have women's
tomorrow.
Soccer tomorrow at 5.
Where are they?
At 5. They're here.
Okay.
They're here at 5. I'll be broadcasting that game.
Okay, we'll turn it down.
Watch it on mute.
No, Drew's got a great face for radio.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Where's men's soccer?
They don't have a game. They don't have games.
Don't they fly to Colorado soon, though?
Yes, I think they're departing to go to Colorado.
Gotcha.
And volleyball.
Where's volleyball at?
They are in Texas.
I think they're in Texas.
Everyone's going to Texas this year.
They're in Texas, y'all. All right, let's get out of here.
All right, folks, we're just about done here with Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes Plus Heine. Make sure to listen to Laser all weekend to hear cool shows throughout the weekend. Today has been beyond fun. My name is Kellen Westring.
I'm Christian Bond.
I'm Lacey Nicholson.
And I'm Gerard Asoni. Tune to the show next week on Thursday from 9 to 11 a.m. We are out of here.
See you.